to Plot Twist I Forgot. I'm your tribute, Davin.
I volunteer as tribute, and I am Laura.
And if it wasn't already very, very obvious, we're back with our recap of The Hunger Games because we've officially re-listened to it, both of us, and we have some thoughts. We have
some of us more than once. Oops.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's like what? It's been, we were going to record sooner, didn't work out, and then so it had been a couple weeks at this point, and you're like, I'm going to re-listen to the beginning again.
Yeah, summer scheduling is rough, but now we're ready for the 74th annual Hunger Games podcast review.
Recap. We discussion. Sure are. Did you see the New York Times came out with that list of like, what is it, the 700 most profound books or something of the last century, and Hunger Games is one of them.
As it should be.
So.
Holds it up. It holds up. The entire book holds
yes.
up.
Yes. It really does.
It still hits. It's amazing. As I was listening to it, I'm like, Suzanne Collins was like watching the news in 2019 or whatever, and she's like, these people don't learn. And then she started writing books again.
And she's like, all right, let's try to do this again, and maybe you'll listen to me now. Uh-huh. And it's so funny you mentioned that, because one of my notes was, like, this came out 10 years ago, a little bit, maybe more than
more.
That.
It came out in 2008.
It came out in 2008? No, it didn't. Because yeah. I was a senior in high school yeah. when this was being put, and 2008.
Maybe it was when the movie was coming out.
No.
Like, you were a senior in high school. The Hunger Games. Because the movie came out in 2012.
Maybe, okay, that actually tracks a lot then. But then, okay, so then it's really crazy that it was that long ago. And she's talking about climate change and just all, you know, the war and not caring about, you know, mm-hmm. less fortunate or whatever, you know, disadvantaged people. And it's like, okay, here we are, 2024, and it's still worse. Like, we didn't do anything. Like, it's... It does hold up for sure. Mm-hmm. It was also very emotional. Like, did you find yourself? There were times where I was like, wow, this is like really sad. And I was I want to cry. Even in the beginning.
I mean, no. The only time I got emotional was Rue. Yes. And we'll get to it. But I cried in my car. On my way to work.
I couldn't cry.
In traffic. So people were probably like.
Like, who is she?
What's. Why is it doing that?
Why is she having such a sad morning already? Here we are.
The Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games. And I liked the quote. One of the quotes I wrote down was, she was saying, at home where I'm even less pleasant. And like, she's just such an unhappy person, Katniss. I mean, not that she has a reason to be happy.
I remember the first time we talked, I was like, Team Katniss dies alone. She hates everyone. I'm cemented in that belief after re-listening to it. Because... She likes Prim, and then later on she likes Cinna. And everybody else in her head, she's like...
Everyone, like, she doesn't, even Gale, like, she doesn't have...
They're mocking mm-hmm. me.
Yes.
They're making fun of me. That was one of my notes. It comes up, like, later in the book, but Katniss is so not like other girls that when somebody is like, you're not like other girls, she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm a tough traitor. I'm good. People don't give me stuff because I'm pretty. It's because they like my dad and my little sister. What are you talking about?
Yeah, she's like, I don't have an allure. I don't have a pull. She's like, Peter, are you making fun of me? What do you mean? She is very... Yeah. Well, but also I think it's really hard to forget just where we are in the book that she's only 16. So like yeah. those feelings are so valid at that age, but it's she's in such a weird situation where she's caring for her family. She's hunting. She's doing all these things. And then it's like, now she's thrust into this situation of...
Right. She's like the main breadwinner for her family as a 16-year-old. And now she has to compete in a murder television show while mm-hmm. a teenage boy is like, but do you like me though?
I know. She was like, and that whole thing was for the cameras. And it's like, well, yeah, it was for the cameras.
Yeah, that was...
Kind of. I mean, she doesn't know... your emotions yet.
Bruh, I don't know you. You gave me some bread when I was 11 and we haven't spoken since. What do you mean, was it for the cameras? You are a stranger.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, so if that tracks, like, I don't know if I believe the whole, and I don't know why I'm so skeptical of his, and I've been in love with her forever. I'm still kind of with Katniss that was for the show, like for the publicity or whatever. But... Yeah, I don't track it. And then if that is true, he's been in love with her his whole life. And then they spend, what, a month, 2 months in this situation. And he's like, and you don't love me? No, I just have to deal with the trauma of seeing people die and also killing people. I don't have time for you, PETA. But I say that, but then I also was still sad at the end where she was like, I don't know how I feel about him. He's like, well, okay. And he walks away. I was a little sad still, but you know.
Especially knowing like everything to come, it is kind of a bummer.
Well, and I'm super curious to see, because I mean, I figured out why I think I really liked Katniss and just this book is Katniss to me is like Nesta. 100%. I don't know if you agree with that, but I just got that same like very off put. Like she's just very sharp around the edges. She's very like doesn't care. She's very gritty and everything. But I'm also really curious.
Hasn't processed her trauma.
No, hasn't processed. And because of that, she lashes out. She's so just not healing. Obviously, you know, it's kind of not hard. It's hard to do that where she's at. But with how we know it ends, I'm really curious to see her character progression because so many times in the book, she's like, and I'm never going to get married and I don't want to have kids. And, you know, it's repetitive. But then we know that's how she ends up. And it's like, okay, like, how does she evolve? Because obviously I don't remember that. Like, how does she evolve from this to now? Because it almost, I'm worried it's going to be a thing of like, that really popular trope of a woman losing her power at the end and everyone's happy because she doesn't have power anymore and she's our main character. And I just, it's probably where that's going and it makes me sad, but.
I think she's happier without power. I think she's happier to just sit in a tree and.
No, and I, not that she, I agree. I just mean her marrying PETA and having kids is almost like the equivalent of, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't watched Red Shadow and Bone, it's like Alina losing her power, or you know those other books we see where a main character loses their powers. And like I know the explanation for that, but I feel like it's so common. It's like what does, like, does enough change to where it makes sense for her to get married, or is it just she is sacrificing basically, you know?
It's from how I remember it, and like we'll eventually get there, but from how I remember it, she is definitely like, oh well, I guess I'll marry PETA then, and that's it. Like she's just like, I'll settle for PETA because I don't want him to be alone is kind of the way I remember it. Okay. And like because of everything they go through in all three books, they're like bonded, trauma bonded in a way, and that's, my brain could be making that up, but I feel like she was just like, well, the best of both options is for me to be with PETA instead of being alone. But that's, who knows?
But it's so funny because she's so happy being alone. She's so happy. It just, and maybe not fully alone, but she's very much like has a very close circle where it's just Gale and Prim. That's all she likes. She hates her mom, or not hates her, but she's just very unhappy with her mom where it borders.
She lost all respect.
Yes, exactly. So it's, yeah, I'm really curious about, I can't wait. I honestly like wanted to jump in, even though I've read all of these, it reminded me again of why I love fantasy and dystopian novels. It was just, I don't know. I just like immediately wanted to jump in and I was so excited. Like when they're on the train and they're in the capital and they're like exploring all the things. And I don't know why it threw me that the capital is in the Rockies. That just does not, you just think of like New York City. Like I know that it's not, doesn't exist like that anymore, but the Rockies.
For the longest time, I pictured the capital being somewhere like LA, where people are weird and they do weird stuff in my brain.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You're so right.
That's kind of like how I thought of it. And then when they like talked about the Rockies, I think my brain was like, but it's like, yeah, it's Utah, I think, is what I Googled. It's somewhere in Utah.
Really?
It's like Salt Lake City became the capital, which is so funny because it's such a religious place now that I can't imagine.
Something like that, where they're just wearing like body mods and they're dyeing their skin pink and blue and like cotton candy hair. There's no way.
Well, I'm sure there's like, you know, people dyeing their hair in Salt Lake City, but like, I can't imagine all this other stuff. I've also never been there, and I know nothing about that town, city. Same. So I guess I should shut up.
No, I'm the same.
But in my mind, the capital was like LA. But it makes sense that the capital was like a defensible location. So it's like surrounded by mountains, and it's hard to get to.
That's true, yeah.
But I never pictured it there.
Mm-mm. No. I also, when And I'm going to, like, jump around a lot because my notes are kind of all over the place. But one of the things that...
Oh, my notes make literally no sense whatsoever. And I can't wait. I can't wait to read the first one to you.
Okay, no,
just... But you tell me.
Okay, so when Cinna popped in, you know, I've totally forgot about Cinna until obviously he was introduced.
This is my note.
Oh, okay, cool.
My note is about Cinna. Keep going.
Love it. Okay, all I know... Okay, two things about Cinna. Something happens. I know something happens to him later in the series. I have this feeling because I was like, oh my God, Cinna. And I was like, wait, I shouldn't be like something bad happens to him, I feel like. And I just don't want to read about it. Just like I didn't want to read about other things. But I also, one quote that stood out to me that he says is like, it's his and Portia's job to make District 12 stand out. And I'm like, why? That was, I want to say foreshadowing. Obviously, I know how it ends somewhat, like what ends up kind of happening. But is stuff like, is District 13 already laying groundwork now and Cinna is a part of it? It feels like I haven't read this series before, to be honest with you. Like little things. I'm like, shoot, yeah. I know something happens. Yeah.
Is this something? Is this a breadcrumb?
Is this a breadcrumb or am I just crazy?
Because me listening to it, like as if it is my first time, I'm like... That is his job to make them stand out so they have an easier time getting sponsors.
And that could be as simple as it is, but it's like, do people know that she's so... I mean, they didn't even know that she was really good with an arrow or anything like that. So maybe, but it's just like...
No, it was a secret.
So maybe you're right. It is just like to get the sponsors. But I was like, is she trying to get the attention of somebody? Or like, are they trying to prove something else outside of just like the sponsorship aspect of things?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your note?
It's not intelligent. Ready? It just says, Cinna is that word we're not saying on this podcast because we're not cursing.
Yes.
I love him in the book and the movie. Lenny Kravitz is a perfect choice. And then, all caps, multiple exclamation points, fire chariot. That's it. Those are my notes on Cinna. And I'm so glad that I'm here to share that.
He really is that. We can say that witch. I think that would work that in rhymes. This, you know. Exactly. Right. But no, he is. Because it is also kind of funny, just her first impressions of him, because she's surrounded by all these capital people like Effie Trinket, who are just bathed in, you know, like we said, color and all these weird mods. And he's just simple, black leather, whatever, tight-fitting shirt, close-cropped hair. That's it.
My gold eyeliner.
Gold eyeliner. And I'm going to be so nice to you and so thoughtful as well. Yeah. Just very much.
And he, like, he crafts the perfect persona for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, in like coaches her through the interview when Haymitch can't, because her and Haymitch are very similar, but one is an alcoholic and one is not. And she doesn't listen to PETA because she views him as only competition and not really a friend and not really trustworthy. But maybe I have a little crush on him. I don't know. And, you know, mm-hmm. so she doesn't, like, trust or listen to anyone but Cinna. And he does such a fantastic job of coaching her and dressing her and making her stand out and look special. To where, like, this would not have been a success without him.
No, like, he did more for her. And I think once she gets out of the games is kind of when she understands more where Haymitch is coming from and how to listen to him and how to read him. But without, he did more for her than Haymitch did in the beginning. And just even after, I mean, she was, like, so excited to see him again. That's, like, her only friend.
Right.
Outside of Gale for now.
When she learned, like... how he was sending her messages with the gifts in the arena.
Yeah, that was so funny. She's like, oh, okay. And that's what it's so funny. Can you imagine being in that situation? Just like, you know, take out the war games part, okay? Like, take out this whole murder thing. But you're in a situation where you have to pretend to like this person for strategy. And that person likes you. And then you do the things. They think they like you. Or you like them too. And then you get out and they're like, wait, you didn't like me? And it's like, there's no good answer to that because I tried to keep us alive. Like, you're mad at me, but, like, because of me and how I could read Haymitch.
I saved your life.
Multiple times. Like, multiple times. She could have killed you. You know, she could have just been the sole victor. And she just was like, no, we're going to do it together and do these things. I will say it was really sad, you know, when they're on the train and they're watching the playbacks of everything. Because you have, you know, she's reminiscing on her time of, like, oh, my God. You know, the people of District 12 respect me because I, you know, stepped in for Prim and they do the whole salute thing for her. But then you watch Prim or Rue get called this tribute and just no one, like no one is there to help her at all. And it was just like, dude, That is, and then just going her, like, she's in this cute little gossamer dress, and she's like, well, they'd have to catch me, and, like, she's so stinking cute, and, like,
she's so precious.
Oh, my gosh. I know, that made it hard. Like, I was like, just please, like, find a way to escape. I know it's so irrational. I know that, like, it's not possible, but that was sad.
Yeah, even, like, on the way there, when they're watching the tributes get selected, you know Katniss is gonna end up, like, as she's, like, watching this happen, she's like, this girl reminds me of Prim. Like, you know at that point, like, oh, Rue's coming back up.
Yeah, oh, easily, because then you see that, and there's all the parallels, because same age, like, they're both tiny and everything like that, and then for some reason, Rue's also drawn to her, you know, maybe because of the same reason, because she stood up for her younger sister, and she's like, shoot, like,
right,
you know what I mean?
You have to wonder if, right, if Rue saw the same thing, like, saw her volunteer's tribute, mm-hmm. and then was like, maybe I can, you know, trust her for a while, and that's why she helped her, because it's Rue who originally helps Katniss. She sees Katniss stuck in the tree, and she shows up very quietly to tell her to drop a wasp's nest on...
on fucking every... She's like, just cut that off. Like, she's like, you know, just drop it.
Ruin their day.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And that's devious, too. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Rue was like, hey, be careful, that thing is right there, and you could get stung, or if she was like, this is your way out. I'd like to think that Rue was just, like, too pure, you know?
I think she was.
So sweet.
I think it was like, hey, watch out, because you're getting super close to it, like, it's right there. And then Katniss was just like, thank you, one, two, I'm going to drop it on those guys, and then just, like, you know, we're just going to win.
This is my way out.
Mm-hmm. I also really like, she has this quote that says, I was made beautiful by Cinna's hands, desirable by Peeta's words, and tragic by circumstance. And it's like, she's just taking herself out of, like, she's just a thing. Like it just doesn't seem like she's a person when she says that, like, or she doesn't see herself as a person. It was just really interesting. I don't know why that quote was
Yeah. I feel like when you lose all autonomy in your life, like, it's easy to kind of, like, start speaking in that way. But yeah, that also hit me hard. I didn't write any, like, full quotes down, but I do think you see, like, as during training, like, when they're getting their scores and they're having all those meals and blah, 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 you can see her, like, losing her identity in the way that she talks about things and reminisces about things.
Mm-hmm. What?
And even when Peeta is like, when I go into the games, I want to remain myself. Like, I'm trying to think of how I can do this, compete in these games, and still keep hold of my identity. And Katniss at that point is basically like, stay alive, moron. Like, forget about your identity. Mm-hmm. When the time comes, you're gonna kill people, so how are you gonna keep your identity? Whatever, you're an idiot. I'll tell your mom you said hi. Bye. Yeah.
She just does.
And those are the last words that they speak to each other, by the way, before they go into the games.
You're right. And then it's not until, you know, he saves her from the other careers, which I would love to see, like, portions of this through his eyes, because I think we get some of it when they're watching all the playbacks and everything, but of course they cut it. So I would love to see, how was he approached, like, what was his conversations with the careers and everything, or, you know, what was that whole discussion like, and, like, is that actually, like, what was happening, or because they already had this narrative here that, oh, they're star-crossed lovers and there's no way they can be together because one of them or both of them's gonna die. Is that how they cut it to make it seem like, what if Peeta was really just like, yeah, I'll work with you, like, you know, and just didn't, because he's nice and knew her, didn't want to let them kill her? Like, was it more?
I so badly, one of my notes is like, I wish that we could have more from Peeta's perspective, because, like, that's exactly it. Like, I firmly believe that Peeta did have feelings for Katniss.
Okay.
And has always had feelings for Katniss. And so his goal was to keep her alive, partially because of his feelings, partially because he knows she takes care of her family, and then because his family had no faith in him. His family was basically like, she's a fighter, she'll come home. It's been nice knowing you, son. Pat, pat, pat.
Which is so, yeah. That is so, and it goes with, like, there's that line, I think Katniss says, and it's not a direct quote, but it's just, she mentions how the games are just a reminder to the districts, like, we can do whatever we want, we can take your children, and you can't do anything about it. It's, that just shows, like, that little thing, how much they've, like, I mean, they can. Like, and the parents just, like, they're like, okay, like, we're resigned. What can we do for you?
Well, it's let that happen or have your whole family die.
Exactly. One or all. What other notes did you write? Because I went through my notes. What did you write down?
I literally have one more note because I basically wrote things down from when they get to the Capitol to when she goes into the games. And then I was just like, I don't want to take notes on the games because it's a bummer. So my last note, because I didn't remember this and I was like, I don't know how I don't remember it because it's shocking, but also not shocking, is that the arenas become vacation destinations for Capitol residents.
Yes.
The only people allowed to travel. People in the districts aren't allowed to travel, but the Capitol residents can go to these arenas where these children died and participate in reenactments of child death.
That's wild. Yeah, I missed the reenactment.
Like, it's like,
part.
Oh, they can go and stay, visit the catacombs, participate in reenactments, and then Katniss is like, and I hear the food is great. So these children, some of whom starve to death or dehydrate, these people go and, like, hang out there. But then I was thinking about it afterwards, like, as I, like, got to work and was processing, and I'm like, people do Civil War reenactments. And, I mean, maybe not all of them were children, but there were teenagers, you know?
Yeah, well, it's just, like...
People do that kind of stuff all the time.
It just shows how far removed certain people are, a lot of people are from those. Because it's the same thing, like, it's just the privilege of not having to... Because I don't think anyone from the Capitol, right, is chosen... Because the Capitol isn't a district, so, like, their children are safe, right? Like, they don't Correct. Have to worry about that. It's just a fun... It's weird to say that for them, it's a fun recreational activity. Because it's just like, haha, we're, like, we don't have to out of sight, out of mind. Which isn't even out of sight, out of mind. They're just so far removed. And they just don't care.
It's like the World Cup and how people go visit the old stadiums. Or how people go to, like, baseball stadiums. That's what this
also,
is.
Also, that begs the question, how far away... Because I feel like, eventually, don't we realize, we find out exactly where one of the arenas is? Because I think maybe it's the second one when they get out. I would love to know, like, because this is the 78th one, 78th arena. How many are there? Is your just Capitol just overrun by this?
Yeah, it's the 74th. But, well, you have to think about, they now have all of North America. Because that's what she says. She says North America, not United States. So I don't know if that includes Canada or not, but it could. And so you have to think about how much land and how many different landscapes they have to work with all of that. Because there's a range. And, like, when you hear them talk about all the places that the games have been in, it's like, oh, the desert. Oh, once flat and, like, only had rocks. There was the year that it was, like, a tundra, you know. It could be... all over.
That's still, yeah, that is insane. But you're right, it is like those reenactments of any kind of war or any, like, historical place that is still even operating.
Yeah, I always think that's weird because it's not my thing. Ray and, you know, my dad are super into, like, World War II history facts and stuff, and that, like, my dad went to World War II, you know, famous sites or whatever. So it's kind of like that, but it's obviously not the same, because this is, like, the Hunger Games are, it's retribution for starting a rebellion.
Which you would have to think, like, at what point, I understand, like, you know, it's once you continue doing it and that's just how you grew up, like, I get why, like, I hate to call this a tradition, but in a way it is, like, traditions continue. But at some point, anybody, even President Snow, which I know he sucks and he wouldn't do this, but at some point there has to have been a president or someone in charge who could have just been like, you know what, like, it was 74 years ago. We don't have to continue doing this. What are you... They don't get anything.
Well, they do have to continue doing it because they have to keep reminding the districts that they have no power and very little hope. And if they don't do what the Capitol says, they'll take your children and kill them.
Right. And yes, I just feel like, I mean, you're already just starving them and not giving them resources. Like, at some point, not to say that those people can't rise up, but you're already exhausting them in so many ways. 50 years, that's okay. You know, 10 years, we don't have to keep doing this. Like, we all know what happened. We all know what will happen again if people rise against. And guess what? It obviously doesn't work because someone is rising against you, which you find out, of course, later. Like, there is still a rebellion out there. But it's like, it's not really doing what you wanted.
And yeah, that might be the case if it were just a way to, you know, quell rebellion. But it's transformed into this, like, massive form of entertainment for the capital, which is the richest people in the world. I guarantee you they make money off of it with bets and sponsorships and whatnot, because the sponsoring is extremely expensive. So it's just another way for the capital to fund themselves.
You're right. Yeah, no, that was also something that was just, whenever it was mentioned, it was very wild to think about willingly choose to watching a reality TV show where this happens, and just being like, haha, fun. Like, that's just...
Right. It's like watching, I don't know, the Great Race. What is that called?
Oh, The Amazing Race.
Right. It's like watching The Amazing Race, picking a favorite, and then waiting for them to die or not.
Yeah, it's like that's... It would be really interesting to see how she would write Hunger Games now. I mean, there's just... We haven't gotten better at all. There's so much terrible stuff in the news, and everyone is just like, okay, bye.
I, in fact, like, think we've gotten worse.
We've 100% gotten worse, and just reading that, like, the fact that we could read this and be like, oh my god, that's terrible, but wait, oh my god, some of this is happening and continues to happen, and we're all just, like, sitting back. Like, it's... crazy.
I have no words about
there are none. It's, there's no, yeah,
it's such a horrifying time to be alive. You know, people keep saying, like, I want to live in precedented times. Okay, that's, yes, that's how I feel.
Facts.
I just please, I don't need another historical event. I'm good.
No, we've had enough. Okay. We're like, we're pretty solid. We're pretty solid there. Is there any, like, standout moments for you, like, when you were rereading that still just, like, really resonated with you or stuck with you or...
Made me weep deeply. So there are a lot of moments, like, in the games that I vividly remember. And I was right. I remembered everything. And it follows the movie pretty closely, besides the fact that Gail has black hair. Thank you. It's not blonde. PETA, on the other hand, does have blonde hair, and we forgive him for that. Because in the book, I don't really remember in the movie so much, but in the book, he has this, like, great self-deprecating sense of humor.
Yes.
That I super vibe with.
Mm-hmm. He does. No, he's great. But I think it kind of tracks, though, for Gail to have blonde hair in the movies for you, because then just off the bat, you hate him. Like, you have no emotions for him.
Now you hate them both.
Now you hate them both. Well, but I mean, he doesn't have the humor. Gail's just, I'm still.
Yeah, Gail is just like, I'll take care of your family, baby. I don't know. Yeah. You're not like other girls because you can shoot an arrow, and I love you because of that.
And that's the only reason.
Do you think that's what Gail was going to say? Because there's a very short moment where he comes to see her before she has to go into the Hunger Games, and they're, like, pulling him out of the room. And he's like, Katniss, remember that? And they shut the door.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you think he was going to be like, I love you, you're the best? Or do you think he was going to be like, remember that, you know, you can do this, like, you're a hunter, even though they just had that conversation? Because I feel like he was going to be like, I'll be waiting for you, or something annoying.
Maybe I could see it. Like, I don't see it being like a declaration of outright love, but I could see it be like, remember, I'll still be here. Remember, I'm rooting for you, or I'm in your corner. Like, I could see it being something like that. But I also could, see it either being that, or even though they just had the conversation, like, remember who you are, remember what you can do, remember you're capable. It could be any, but I think it's more fun if it is, remember, I love you, kind of.
I bet he was going to be like, I love you. Because earlier that day, he was like, we could run away and live in the woods. Just me and you and our families. We could live in the woods together. We could do it.
I'd love if Katniss was like, okay, Gail, how will we convince them to live in the forest? What is... Yeah. How will that conversation
soft,
go?
Soft little Prim.
And my mom, who can barely get out of bed. Like, yes, they're going to thrive.
Well, she's better. But my mom at
this moment in time.
Because then she was better. And I also think that's very interesting that she chose to give the mom like severe depression without any medication.
Yeah.
And explain what that did to the family.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I remember when this, these books came out and everyone was like, oh my God, she's ruined YA by making this dystopian craze and blah, blah, blah. But I think people don't read very critically. And I'm guilty of that too. 100%. Sometimes I read just for entertainment. But there is so much in The Hunger Games that are in, like, are important topics.
Mm-hmm.
Even just touching on the mental health. And is Katniss's reaction to it great? No. But she's a 16-year-old girl who had to take care of her sister, her 4 years younger sister, because her mom couldn't do it. She was, I think, 12 or 11 when she had to, like, take this over. And her mother was bedridden with depression, but they didn't call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had to feed her with 7 or 8 year old sister, and the weight of her sister's life was on her shoulders at 11.
Yeah, it's like, of course Katniss is unlikable, you guys, like, or quote unquote unlikable. Like, she's not gonna be,
oh, she's unlikable,
like this super bubbly, like, haha, like, no, she's worn down from years of,
she's
just
had a super
terrible
life.
Like, terrible, terrible life. Like, even when her dad was alive, like, yes, was it better? Of course, but they're still in a very poor district. Like, it's not a great environment at all.
One thing that I don't know if I made different in my brain, or it's different because I've read the rest of the books and seen the rest of the movies, but I remember the Mockingjay pin and singing being a no-no in the movie. Like, they let her have the pin, but they didn't want to because the Mockingjay is a symbol of rebellion because the birds defeated the Capitol, right, or whatever. Uh-huh. And in the movie, singing was outlawed.
Oh, and I don't remember. Yeah.
Or did I make that up? It's not outlawed, but, like, there isn't singing. Or maybe it was just that one song that was banned. I don't know. But in the book, I was like, why did I think there was, like, a heavy thing about how you're not allowed to sing songs?
I could see that, though, because Mockingjays are still around, or, yeah, because it's the Mockingjays that are still around, right? Like, because there was the two, like, the Jabberjays and the whatever. I could see it being banned because they repeat it, like, and then it's, like, all around. Like, they pick up the songs. So I could see in the movies it being outlawed.
I think maybe it happens later. I think it happens later in the book where they're like, the Mockingjay becomes the symbol of the rebellion.
I could see that.
And I just kind of pushed up the timeline in my head. But I was like, I forgot she sang when Rue died.
Me too.
Sob. Uh-huh. Cue the sobs. Cue the big, dirty sobs.
Oh my gosh. I was sitting at the nail salon, had just sat down for my appointment, and it happens then. Like, the whole sequence of Rue dying and Rue being murdered and the singing and the flowers, like, you know, doing that. I was like, dude, I did forget the singing. And the fact, like, we have to say the narrator did such an amazing job with, like, she is Katniss. She was phenomenal, but even just how she sang it was, dang, dude, she put so much emotion into her whole performance.
And that's what got me, really, is I had forgotten there was a song. I was doing fine with the flowers and everything. It was very sad. I was upset when she sang that song, and the narrator is Tatiana Maslany, and her voice was, like, cracking, and she brought the tone down. She lowered her volume. I mean, she is amazing. I'm gonna, like, look for books narrated by her now. She made me sob, and that's what it was. If I were just reading that in the book, I would have been sad, but, like, she 1000% through this entire book put all of the emotion in it. And amazing. No notes. 10 out of 10. I actually think it makes the experience even better because the way she reads lines, like when Katniss is annoyed. One I remember the most is when she's talking with Haymitch about the interview that's going to be coming up. And they're going over questions and she's like, he says I snarl answers out at him or whatever. And then there are a few question and answer responses. And the way she reads them, I'm like, I 1000% think that's how Katniss is talking.
No, she did such an amazing job. And even with all the characters, but obviously with Katniss being the main one, it was very, even Senna's, like, I like how she approached Senna's voice,
yes,
too. It was very kind of the same, like, very somber, calm, yeah, very
her male voices weren't off-putting, like, they seemed real. And she gave each of them character. It wasn't even just reading a voice. It was like full-on character. She's amazingly talented. And I don't think I've ever listened to another audiobook by her. I think this is the only one. And I hope she reads the rest of them.
I was going to say, like, do you know? Because I really hope she's the narrator for the rest of them.
I don't know. And I know that was a special edition, so I'm not sure if she does or not.
I will be so sad.
Yes. I'm looking at book 3 because I forgot the title for book 2. And she is the narrator, so...
Oh, God bless. Okay. You know what was also very shocking? Not shocking, but I was kind of surprised because I didn't clock this until they, like, he showed up. Like, President Snow isn't in this until the end.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot because he's just such a very big, looming figure. Obviously, more so now that she's won, she's going to be in close proximity to him. But I was just, like, you just think of Hunger Games, you think of Katniss, Peeta, President Snow, like, you think of those characters, and it was kind of just, right, not shocking, but, like, dang, he's only here now.
Right.
And he's, like, the greatest villain in this book. Like, he's the main villain.
But like, you, okay. Right, but this is, it's, like, an evolving story, and, like, in the first book, it's the capital as a whole that's the enemy.
Is the villain, yeah, true.
And then you kind of get to know some capital residents and realize that, like, some of them are great, some of them are just vapid. Like, she refers to her, the team that constantly waxes her,
yes,
as, like, birds. Like, you can't be mad at them because they're just birds. So, like, she gets to know some of these characters and, like, finds that they're lovable. And then it kind of, even Effie, who says some unhinged shit, just...
She really
maybe
does.
Next year they'll finally give me a decent district. I want to shake her. How dare you? But you find some redeemable characters. So then as the series progresses, it's not the capital as a whole that's the enemy. It really starts to focus on Snow. So I think that's kind of how it starts. But I could be wrong. But yeah, in this book, it's the last chapter. That's it.
Yes, and it's like, and here's President Snow. And I'm like, wait a dang minute. Like, are you serious? Uh-huh. Hang on. That is, I am very excited to read book 2. And it's funny you mentioned those birds, like the birds, those characters or whatever they are. Because that reminded me of how when Katniss comes back and meets them again sees them again for the first time as they're prepping her for this like super crazy interview, is how she clocks how they're just talking about, oh, and I remember where I was at when like this happened and this happened. And she's like, they're not even like, they're talking about my life like it's just a funny show and like I lived that, like, and no one's asking me.
And an event that happened to them.
Yes.
They're centering that story around where they were and what they were doing when these things happened. Like, it has nothing to do with what happened to her. It's everything to do with them. And she's just gone through this like horrific ordeal.
Yeah. This part. And the dogs were as creepy as I remember, but I remember how in the movie it's not like that. You know, when they get attacked by the dogs at the very end and all the dogs are take on traits of all the tributes.
It's technically supposed to be like that in the movie. They have dog tags and they say the names.
Yeah, but I just don't... I thought maybe I was wrong and it is. Like, maybe they do, but I just thought they had more features. Like, I know they had the eyes and, like, the hair colors and that kind of thing, but I thought it was more also kind of humanoid. So maybe I just blew that up in my head over the years and just made that the narrative, that is how that happened.
Yeah, I just remember them being like dogs with human eyes and like, is that blonde hair?
Yeah, she's like, wait a second. And also, can we talk about the name Glimmer? Glimmer.
There are a lot of names and it's district based and you can tell.
Oh,
So like Glimmer is from like district, I don't remember, 2 or whatever. One of the fancy ones.
Yes.
And then there's like Thresh, who's from District 11, you know, like, some of them are right on the nose, but then I, you know, others that are just names. A lot of them are interesting.
They very much are.
Glimmer's not, I, who would look at their little baby and be like, Glimmer?
Exactly, like, is that, and obviously you know it's not a nickname, like, that's her legitimate name, but I mean, that just...
What would the nickname for Glimmer be?
I don't know.
Well, hey, Glim.
It would be Glim, and I would be like, don't ever call me that again.
No, sorry, I don't have a nickname.
No.
You're going to have to...
You just have to call me Glimmer.
Just call me Glimmer. You're going to have to look me in the eye and call me Glimmer. Thank you.
I want to try that one time. That would be so funny. Like, hi, my name's Glimmer.
When you're introducing yourself to weirdos at a bar.
Yeah. Oh, challenge accepted. Done. But then also with how names are going nowadays, it's not far off. Eventually there is a child out there named Glimmer, which, you know, it's a cute name, but just in the book. It's, and here is your contestant, tribute Glimmer. Like, okay, Glimmer's the one that's going to murder me. Okay, cool. Sure. Nice try.
But yeah. I like that Katniss, like, came up with different names. Well, really, it was only one, like, Foxface. Yeah. But that's 1,000% what I would do. Like, I wouldn't know their real names. I'd be like, Foxface, blonde girl. You know, like, I would assign them Knife Girl.
Knife
Girl. Like, there's no way I would know their names.
No, 100%. I would have done the same. Yeah, I'm also now really excited to watch the movie. Like, I was very tempted just to watch it right after I finished, but I was like, no, we talked about doing a watch party together, so I'm going to wait to watch it. But I am just, I remember why I loved this series so much, even though we've only read the first one. It's going to be exciting to read the rest.
Yeah. It's funny because I remember, like, loving it all, but I hated the third book. Like, I loved it, but I hated it because of some of the things that happened. But also, possibly my favorite character in the entire series is brought in the third book.
Who's your favorite character?
Tigress.
I do not remember this character. I do remember, like, I'm excited. I do like Finnick a lot. So yeah. I'm excited for him.
I like Finnick.
And for her, too. Because I do like when she was talking about how, like, some of the other victors had won. There was one where she was talking about how there was, like, very defenseless, like, oh no, I couldn't, and then she just, like, slaughtered everybody.
Joanna.
And she won. I feel like, is it Joanna? Okay, that's what I thought. Joanna. Like, Joanna's the really, like, brutal one, and I remember, doesn't Katniss, like, forge, like, not like a friendship with her, but she's just like, I understand you, like, they have this common ground that a lot of people don't have with her.
I wouldn't say they're besties, but they do have, like, a common, they have a common ground, and they have a common goal, and so they kind of bond over that. And they also kind of bond over, like, being a little bit brutal and, like, having to do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. I actually think the series gets better as it goes, because it's YA, but it does not feel...
It doesn't read YA at all. Like, I mean, the ages, yeah, of course, I think that's what makes it YA, but like you said... Right. It deals with such tough topics that even when you're younger, like, I clocked some of it in a way, but not like I did now. Like, when you're reading it, it definitely has way more layers than you realize at that age, which is what I think is so cool about YA, is just how authors are like, okay, here's some really deep stuff that you're probably going to have to deal with at some point in your life. So here you go. And
process it through this lens. Bye. Do you think they're reading this in schools now?
Oh, God, I don't.
Or do you think they're still reading To Kill a Mockingjay? To Kill a Mockingbird? Oh, no.
That's the next one. No, I don't know.
And, like, Animal House. Are they still reading? No.
I could...
What is the book where the child falls asleep in a slaughterhouse and is eaten by rats?
I never had to read that, but isn't it Animal Farm?
Maybe.
Animal something?
Animal House is the movie where there's a food fight.
It's definitely not Animal House. I think it's...
See, I really am the spirit animal for this podcast because I don't remember anything ever.
Well, just wait till we get to our next episode with what we decided to do, because we just don't care. This is just a very fluid concept that we're here for.
Plot twist.
We forgot everything.
There's no plot to this podcast.
It's just a way for me and Laura to talk about books more in a different setting.
Just want to talk to each other on camera.
Exactly. Now we're going to feed our conversations to the world.
Yeah.
Any last Hunger Games thoughts before I ask you our closing question?
Only that my favorite part of this entire book is when she shoots the apple out of the pig's mouth.
Yes. When
the people aren't paying attention to her.
Uh-huh.
Because I vibe with that. I'm that level of petty. If I had the ability to shoot arrows and, like, my chances of survival and success are based on these people in their stupid purple robes not paying attention to me, I would be livid. And I would absolutely do something like that. And that's probably my favorite part of the entire book, simply because she's like, you're going to pay attention to me.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's just like, it just goes, that attitude. I love that there's so many main character, like, female main characters that have that attitude just throughout YA. And I feel like they're kind of few and far between of like this level, but I did really like that where she's like, you know what? Like, I'm about to risk my life. I'm probably not going to come out of this. And the least you can do is like, give me 2 minutes of your attention because you told me that now I have to go into the murder arena and like die. So like, how about you look at me for a second?
Right. Thank you for your consideration.
Like, she may as well have just flipped them off too when she walked out. Like in my head, that's what she does. And then she just storms out and she's like, but then immediately she's like, oh my God, what did I do? Like, they're going to kill me and my family and holy cow. Yeah.
And it's not even really about her. She's like, ah, oh, God, they're going to kill Prim. They're going to kill Prim because I had to prove a point.
But yeah, but I just like how I love how strong-willed and just her act. Like, I love her anger. I think it's really great.
Yes, the brief moments of rebellion and female rage that come out are amazing. And they play so well. Like, I refuse to cry. I will not cry in front of you. I'm going to cry alone in my bed. But I'm not going to cry in front of you. And the, like, I'm going to drop the arrows and walk out. And the flowers. Just, like, the instances of rebellion that she has are, like, they shine through.
And also just how aware she is of her rebellion as well. Because when she is laying the flowers on Rue's body, she's like, I'm going to still do it. Even though I know they're probably not going to televise it because it is a rebellion. But she's like, I don't care. Like, this, like, I also like how, for her age, she is just very aware of strategy, almost like what they're going to do or how they think already.
Right.
Can't wait to read Catching Fire whenever.
Catching Fire is what Catching it's called. Fire. That's what it's called. That's books too.
So that
I was just like, one of them is Mockingjay and it's blue. And
that's the third one. No, but Catching Fire, because she's going to be very, very, I'm excited. I remember even less about that one, shockingly. I, like, have this one scene in my mind and then this other thing, but I don't know if that's from the third book. So we'll find out where I'm at with this.
We'll find out.
With this. But my closing question for you is, what are you reading right now?
So a month ago, we talked about what I was reading, and there are less of them, but I am still trying to get through Horror Story.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. It's not good for me. I'm not enjoying it, but I'm trying to push through because I'm like, the last half must be great. It's Paul Tremblay. Like, the last half must be bomb. But oh God, I'm really struggling. It's so slow. Nothing is happening. No one has died.
That's sad. But you did read another which we both finished this book. You read another book that you liked.
I Was a Teenage Slasher. Yes. Yeah. It's so good.
Oh my
gosh.
So good.
And again, another case where the audio version
is so good.
I just, the emotion that the narrative puts in it, and I'm actually going to talk about this a little bit in conjunction with our next topic, so I won't go too deep into it, but
yeah.
So good.
No, so that was one I finished too, and I was reading the Kindle version, which I don't know, his writing, no matter what, is still very emotional to me. So like it did still have that thing, but the audio was definitely really good. I finished that. I finished another book that I won't mention yet because we're going to be talking about it later in a future episode. So tune in and keep your eyes peeled. But I just started Vera Kurian's, and I don't even know if that's how you say her name, so I am so sorry if I butchered that, but A Step Past Darkness. She's the author who wrote Never Saw Me Coming. I don't know if you read that one.
No.
Oh, Never Saw Me Coming is so good. Do you know what it's about?
No.
So it's this young woman who is a diagnosed psychopath, or she's a sociopath. And that's also a topic, is like distinguishing between the two. I forget which one she is, but she goes to college because she's accepted into this program that's studying one or the two. So the program has just a ton of people that are diagnosed either psychopath or sociopath, and she's going to college, and one of the people in the group is murdering other people. So she's like trying to figure out, but it's really interesting just to be in her mindset of how she thinks about things and how she goes about. It's just a really good book, so I would highly recommend that one.
That sounds interesting.
But she has a new one out, and then I haven't picked a new audiobook. I think I might read ML Rio's Graveyard novella that is coming soon.
I am starting We Used to Live Here on audio by Marcus Kleiber, not sure how to say his last name. That was definitely influenced because everyone who reads this book is
everyone is talking about it right now.
It's scary and it's amazing. Like, I haven't seen a rating less than 4 stars. So I was like, okay.
Interesting.
Here okay. I come.
Well, I also have like 7 audiobook credits right now, so I'm trying to decide what the heck I read next. But on that same scary note, some people have been saying Josh Malerman's Incidents Around the House is really creepy. So I think I may try that one and see how that goes. But yeah, stay tuned. We have another episode planned. So follow our page. Follow us, hopefully, wherever you listen to podcasts. Hopefully, by the time this comes out, we're in all the places like Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all of that. And you can find our handles for our personal accounts, our personal Bookstagram accounts, and Plot Twist I Forgot in the show notes below.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.